Now, just as individuals are not defined solely by their faith, Indonesia is defined by more than its Muslim population. But we also know that relations between the United States and Muslim communities have frayed over many years. We can choose to be defined by our differences and give in to a future of suspicion and mistrust. Or we can choose to do the hard work of forging common ground and commit ourselves to the steady pursuit of progress. And I can promise you, no matter what setbacks may come, the United States is committed to human progress. That is who we are. That is what we've done, and that is what we will do.
That is President Obama speaking in Jakarta yesterday. Did he succeed in reaching out to Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim population in the world? And was that his primary audience? Here to reflect on that, we've got the Takeaway contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, author of the new book, Green Dean, What Islam Can Teach Us About Saving the Planet. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
And also on the line from his home in New York is Hussein Rashid, professor of religion at Hofstra University. Good morning, professor.
Good morning.
And I want to start with I want to get both of your reactions to this particular question, which is, who do you think President Obama was primarily speaking to? Was he speaking to Muslims primarily or to Christians? Was he speaking to Indonesians or Americans? Ibrahim, let's get your answer first.
Well, I think he was speaking to Indonesians in a way that's saying, and he was demonstrating the best way to form effective partnerships. First, you compliment the country and you tell them how far they've come and how they've set an example for the world. And then second, you make it clear that our success depends on your success. And then to Americans, related to religion, he kept that theme of the example, of Indonesians as the example for the world. And he said that Indonesia is a pluralist nation. And bringing together different faiths and different religions, he even gave an example of a Christian building a mosque in Indonesia. And I think he was showing there how Americans can learn from that example of pluralism.
And Hussein Rashid, who do you think he was speaking to?
I generally agree with Ibrahim. I think that the president's speech was a much more mature look at religion and was using the Indonesian example to talk about some of the issues we're seeing in America, about religious bigotry that seems to be raising its head in this country now. And I think he's using the Indonesian example to say, look, I'm a Christian. I visited a mosque, which was built by a Christian. And he said that an Indonesian Muslim said to him, a Muslim can also visit a church. But I think he also was, and I think you started the segment with, I think, the best quote from the speech, which is, no person is defined solely by their faith. And I think we are starting to fall into that trap here in this country. And so I think President Obama's primary audience was the American listener in this speech.
But the interesting thing here, and as you listen to the speech, Hussein Rashid, it seems to me that it's less a message poised to hit people in their religious center, but much more to talk about the commonality between Indonesia and the United States in their secular approach to civic life. In that way, I think he's really created a commonality that I really didn't see before, and he articulated it pretty effectively.
I agree with you, and I don't think they're two separate ideas. I think they're two separate approaches to the same idea, which is, how do you build that multi-faith, pluralistic society? And, you know, when the president gave his Cairo speech last year, I argued very strongly in an op-ed that he should be doing it from Indonesia, because Indonesia represents all these values as the most populous Muslim nation that can be held up as an example to the Muslim majority world. And I'm glad that he's taken the time now to come to Jakarta, give this speech, and really highlight these commonalities.
Well, I Hussein Rashid of Hofstra University and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, I want you to play you this comment that the president made.
While my stepfather, like most Indonesians, was raised a Muslim, he firmly believed that all religions were worthy of respect. And in this way, he reflected the spirit of religious tolerance that is enshrined in Indonesia's constitution and that remains one of this country's defining and inspiring characteristics.
Ibrahim, it also struck me that the president, in light of everything Hussein Rashid was talking about, the religious kind of high temperatures in the United States and many of the prejudices right now against Muslims, and yet the president seems to have made a point of not distancing himself personally from Muslim.
Yeah, I think you're right. He said American, he spoke to himself as we Americans and talk about that we've had trouble with Muslim communities. And I think it was interesting, and he mentioned specifically communities when talking about Muslim, and instead of saying Muslim nations, whereas in Cairo he spoke about Muslim nations. Here he's talking about Muslim communities, which
and
spoke
his own
to the
father.
Precisely, which spoke to the situation here and in his own family. But I think he was also making a point to Americans about our own constitution, right? When he said it was enshrined in your constitution, in the Indonesian constitution, reminding Americans that it's also enshrined in our constitution.
Quickly, Hussein Rashid, do Indonesians respond to this sort of thing? It seems to me they much more are interested in pragmatic deals than they are in, you know, a lot of flowery talk.
I think it's not just a characteristic of Indonesians. I think a lot of people, when they hear a politician, want to hear pragmatic talk and say, what are the real substantial things? But this speech did have some substance. It did talk about trade. It did talk about development. And I think reading between the lines, you also have to look at this as a very strong foreign policy speech, where the president is making alliances in Southeast Asia with one of the major players that has strong relationships with Australia, and is setting up, I think, a regional power bloc with respect to China. And Indonesia really is one of the big players in the region right now. And I think that at least it would have been nice for the president to say, okay, XYZ, this is what's going to happen. But the fact of the matter, that's not his role. He's the foreign dignitary. That's the Indonesian president's role now to make those announcements.
That is Hussein Rashid, professor of religion at Hofstra University. Ibrahim, did it work for you? I mean, you're kind of, to a certain extent, preaching to the choir there in terms of religious tolerance. But did he say something that kind of convinced you or worked for you?
I think he focused on sustainable development in Indonesia, which Indonesia has been leading on. He said that Indonesia plays a strong leadership in the global effort in combating climate change. So from the pragmatic perspective, he was really shifting our conversation of development. He talked about development, democracy, and religion. And the development focus was really focused on them leading, them having a dynamic civil society.
Isn't there a risk there that someone who's a Muslim in Saudi Arabia or Yemen might look at this speech and go, oh, they're the good Muslims over in Indonesia. We're the intolerant bad ones.
Well, if I may say so myself, I think that they are the good Muslims. And I think that perhaps in other places they might be the intolerant bad ones. And I think it's great that we're highlighting and showing a light on Muslims that are much more pluralistic around the globe.
The provocative Ibrahim
Abdul-Mateen, takeaway contributor, author of the new book, Green Deen, What Islam Teaches About Saving the Planet. We're going to talk to both you and Hussein Rashid of Hofstra University more in a moment. The president's speech was relatively late last night, so you may have missed his remarks, but we are talking about the speech he gave in Jakarta and whether or not it was meant for a Muslim audience, an American audience, and what was the message. And just a few minutes ago, we got this very provocative statement about Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen about good Muslims and bad Muslims, and this seems to have been something that Obama obliquely referenced in his speech.
Innocent civilians in America, in Indonesia, and across the world are still targeted by violent extremism. I've made it clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam. Instead, all of us must work together to defeat al-Qaeda and its affiliates, who have no claim to be leaders of any religion, certainly not a great world religion like Islam. But those who want to build must not cede ground to terrorists who seek to destroy. And this is not a task for America alone.
Still with us is Hussein Rashid, professor of religion at Hofstra University, and of course, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, takeaway contributor, author of the new book, Green Deen. And Professor Rashid, I wanted to get your response to that statement from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Do you think that there are essentially, there's a good version and a bad version of Islam?
I think that when you look at Muslims, as in any other religious tradition, you're going to find a real fight over what it means to be a believing Muslim. But I think John's statement just before we went into the break, the question that prompted Ibrahim's statement, was can the people in Saudi Arabia look at themselves and say, okay, well, we're intolerant and backwards. And I think if we could get them at that point, you know, I would consider that a major win. I think we need some of that self-reflexivity. We need some of that looking back in ourselves and saying, well, why are we having such a hard time with dealing with what it means to be in the modern world? And I think, again, President Obama, in addressing the Indonesian audience, said, look, you've got these ancient traditions dealing with this very modern economy, and you're not sacrificing one for the other.
That's a great takeaway both of you. So you are suggesting that Obama intentionally used a language that would provoke self-reflection by people in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and other places in the Middle East.
And I'll say just, I agree with that, but I think that he did so in a way, first, but he first complimented the Indonesians.
Right.
He first said, you know, you charted your own course through an extraordinary transformation towards democracy.
Yeah, from Sukarno and right. Suharto and into democracy.
And then he also did not say, we did this for you, or we helped you do this. He said, you did this. And that was the way that you start the process, start the conversation of affirming their process and what they've gone through, and then having that conversation.
With Saudi Arabia. Well, let's bring in another guest here. Ruly Desaad is a businessman and actually former classmate of President Barack Obama's and joins us from Jakarta, Indonesia. Good morning.
Good evening from Jakarta now.
Well, explain to me how that message played out with this careful language. Did you hear some of these slightly hidden messages there in Indonesia?
Oh, yes. And this morning he also gave a speech at one of the University of Indonesia, which very inspiring. Many people in the minister, students, businessmen, everyone, that almost the same like he said before tonight with President Yudhoyono, that we should live in unity, because he learned that some of the Indonesia Pancasila ideology, like everyone equal in economy, politics, unity for all people, and respect the diversity among different races and religion. And he keep talking to that direction. And it's very clear that Indonesia has to go on with that.
Well, do you there in Indonesia, do you see this sort of divide or differences between, say, a Muslim nation like Indonesia and the difference in way you approach governance and tolerance as opposed to a Muslim nation like Saudi Arabia?
Yes, when you see still many violence, and I don't know which group they represented, but always using the same as Islam, what they believe. And we actually believe in, like, we spread love instead of war or punishment or those kind of things, actually. And it's totally different.
Well, Ruly Desaad, you'll forgive me if I ask you to go back in your memory banks to when you were actually a classmate of the young Barack Obama. But I just got to ask you, did he talk this slowly when he was in grade school? What do you remember about him as a child?
Okay. In 1970, when we were like 9, 71, like 10 years old, that is actually the ages of which all of us learn something which actually basic of our forming our basic personality, which later we took in our life, you know, all those what we learn. Just give you one simple. In his class, there's a Muslim student, Catholic, Buddhism, Christian in one place. So we used to live like that in diversity. So we share also the same thing without seeing any difference. And all of his classmates till today still meet, still gather, still have good relation because of that experience that we have. You know? And Obama is also among us at that time. He see things like when you see only one example in your life, I don't think you can understand if you ever experience more than that, you know, in the diversity, those kind of things.
So Barack Obama was absolutely sincere in saying that he himself learned lessons of tolerance from Indonesia, and it feels like that's a message for the rest of the world. Ruly Desaad is a businessman from Indonesia, former classmate of young Barack Obama's. And I want to say thank you to Takeaway contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, author of the new book, Green Deen, What Islam Teaches About Protecting the Planet, and Hussein Rashid, professor of religion at Hofstra University, all taking a look at the words of Barack Obama in his speech in Jakarta last night.